What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Keep them, cut them. Miami Hurricanes all-time safeties edition, right?
Yep.
All right, safeties. I'm sorry if I'm echoing a little bit. Just moved into the new joint. Ain't got no soundproofing in this shit. I'm starting to hear it now. Now I got to set up some more stuff for the sound to bounce off of. I can hear it a little bit now. But anyways, let's go, man. Let's see what we got. This will be tough.
All right, so check this out. So the first safety I'm going to give you, Ray Armstrong. Are you going to cut him or are you keeping him?
Cut.
Well, wait. We got to pick him. We got to go through.
Yeah, so I'm not giving you all the names. I'm giving it to you one by one.
Okay.
This is going to make it tough. So, Ray Armstrong.
I got you. Yeah, cut. Shout out to Ray Ray. Should always been a linebacker. I remember meeting him. We did that interview that time. And that dude's huge. I was like, what the hell they got him back there playing? Say he was huge, bro. And this was after his playing days. Well after his playing days. Always should have been a linebacker. And them coaches should have just forced his ass to play linebacker. He would have probably ended up being a second round pick or something like that. But
yeah, but he did carve out an NFL career though. He was with the Raiders for a couple.
With Niners for a little bit too. Special teams and backup. But I think if he would have played linebacker the whole time, he probably would have had a more impressive college career and probably could have been a higher pick. But all right, okay. Go ahead. Who we got next?
Next we got Jaquan Johnson.
Cut.
Okay, man. Maul, cut. Okay, Kenny Phillips.
Ooh,
it's a good one. For me.
I gotta cut. I gotta cut because that's what our third guy.
Yeah, that's the third name. That's the third name.
Okay, so we got five left. Yeah. All right.
So,
are we making you go cutting individually, or like, can I keep him?
You know, you can keep it for yourself. This is your list.
Okay.
No, right, this is your own. Yeah, everybody individual because I'm writing it down. So you know, this is your own personal. So you say Kenny Phillips, you cutting or you keeping?
I'm gonna keep Kenny Phillips.
Right. Okay.
I like Kenny, man. Shout out Kenny. Kenny's a
X, you cutting too? Yeah, so X and y'all both cutting. Oh, just to let y'all know, I should have said this from the start. Sean Taylor and Ed Reed are not included.
Oh man, you
you can't do that.
The reason why is because I know those two are automatic for everybody.
Locked. Yeah. No, I like
so
that.
If Sean Taylor and Ed Reed not, I'm keeping Kenny. I keep Kenny.
Okay, so you keeping Kenny too?
I'm gonna still hold off on Kenny. I'm gonna wait a little second.
Okay. All right. So, Deion Bush.
Cut.
Damn. Bush, my.
Hold on. How far back you going? How far back you going?
I'm going to at least late 80s, because I got one name on here from the 80s. I just got one on here.
Well, okay. That name is the name I'm thinking. He's.
I gotta keep him right, and that's what I'm thinking too. So I'll roll the dice on Bush. Bush is my guy.
All right,
I keep Bush.
All right, you keep Bush. All right. The next name, Brandon Merriweather.
Killer. That's a killer. That's a killer, man. Oh man. Let me keep Merriweather. I want a killer back. I want a headhunter back there.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, for me personally, I cut him. Right. Me personally.
Have you kept anybody yet?
I kept Kenny too. Maul, what you feel, Maul? You keeping a cutting?
Give me a cut.
Okay, all right. Rayshon Jenkins.
Cut.
I'm gonna go cut because I got one spot left.
Okay.
Yeah, I like
him
too. Great career.
Okay. All right. Is this the one you're looking for? Benny Blades.
Keep it.
I'm good with mine. I'm good with mine. Yeah, Blaze.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. What you got? Keep or cut? I don't know if he can hit.
He gonna have to keep him because he already done cut.
Well, he down to the last two.
So he's last two. So he gotta keep Benny. So both. So Larion, you keeping Benny. We all keeping Benny.
Everybody keep Benny.
And then the last. All right.
So the last one.
Cam Kitchens.
I'm keeping my dog.
I like it. I ain't got no choice but to cut him. He played for the Rams now, so.
Yeah. So,
as a Niners fan, I love it / hate to see it. A boy doing his thing so far, man. I really am proud of him, man, for real.
So, the consensus, right? Obviously, Larion, yours is a little different. So, me, X, and Ma, we kept Kenny Phillips, Benny Blaze, and Cam Kitchens. And you got Dion Bush, Brandon Merriweather, and Benny Blaze.
I'm good with that because I'm a star.
Benny is the one everybody got and kept.
And Kenny and I was Benny the only universal. Yep, Benny the only universal.
Benny the only one where everybody kept, and then me, you, and Mal kept Kenny.
And then we kept Cam. Yep, we kept Kenny and Cam. Yeah.
So I'm the one that was.
Mal kept Brandon Mayweather.
No, Larion kept
Merriweather.
So I'm gonna start
Merriweather and Blaze, and then I'll have Dion in the rotation because he can play some nickel for me, and you know he can play free or strong safety. So I'm really happy with that. Yeah, I'm rocking with that. That's a nice little 1-2-3 right there.
I start
Benny and Kenny and
same
Cam
thing.
Cam can play a little slide and come in as safety. I would rather Cam covering the tight end one-on-one or a slot guy and let Kenny and Blaze roam the back. That's kind of hard, man, because Kenny and Blaze play the same position.
Yeah, they do.
But I mean, you know, safety is safety. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I would say that the difference is Benny won the Jim Thorpe Award and he was All-American.
Yeah.
So that's the advantage that he have over Kenny.
Kenny was all American though.
He was all American, but he didn't win. Yeah, he didn't win the Jim Thorpe Award.
But he was all American.
Yeah, he was all American. Yep.
When Kenny end up playing in the league? He went to New York.
The Giants. He went to the Giants. He was the Giants, and then he played for the Commanders. I think it was when it was Redskins. He played for them after.
Until he ended up getting hurt. Yeah, that knee.
Kenny was one of the last true NFL players we had when things started drying up. First rounder, like, okay, this is still a Miami Hurricane of a certain cloth that we are accustomed to. So I always salute those kind of dudes, man. Like, you know, when they had an opportunity probably to, you know, maybe pivot this way or that way. Things wasn't as, you know, pretty and shiny and everything wasn't as great.
I think we were still in the Hurricanes at that point.
I think it was the beginning of the end.
Larry Coker just stopped winning games.
It was like the beginning of the end. Yeah. His team had a transfer portal there too. So, but I think some of the writing was on the wall. It just wasn't adding up no more. It just wasn't adding up no more, dog. I don't know what happened. Nah, it's cool. I like that. That was good. Now, see. Only thing I'm pissed about is you told us we was cutting Ed. I'm with you.
Yeah. So when we go further along, I'm going to do the same thing for other positions. So the next one I'm going to do is running backs, but we're going to do that for the next show.
I know linebackers is who you got to probably cut. So, well, yeah, that'd be interesting. We know Ray.
Because it's certain players that we know, like that's our number one, or that's our number two. So it's like you gotta take Ray out of there. You know what I'm saying? You take Ray out of there, and then you go from there. You know what I'm saying?
Tackle gonna be fun. Well, I know McKinney probably.
Well, you gotta take if you take Ray out, you gotta take Dan out. Like
that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of times, even amongst our own fan base, I don't feel like Dan get the same respect.
Yeah, he don't. In the as Ray do.
Category as Ray. And I'm like, I think y'all looking at Ray pro career too much.
NFL career. Yeah.
Right. Dan was even doing this thing, but, you know, the injuries, the same thing. So, you know, he shake the injuries off, and I think you would have been talking about him. You know, he was like Luke Kuechly before Luke Kuechly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The hardest one, and I don't even know if you could cut anybody, would be D tackle. I don't know if you could cut anybody at D tackle.
Hmm.
Because it would be unfair. That's unfair.
But listen, it's because I want people to think outside.
Pretty much do running back, but defensive tackle, just think about the top five defensive tackles. They all are like close. It's like 1A, 1B, 1. It's no way.
You're right.
Like, I think the only one you could probably say where you got to take out might be Jerome Brown.
It's Sapp.
And Warren Sapp.
Yeah, those are probably the two.
But if you take out Warren Sapp, you still got Russell Maryland. You got
right, Cortez.
Cortez.
See, Cortez, like almost to me.
Right there, you just gave us basically like the top, like you know what I'm saying, like two or three that like everybody don't say. So that's why I want people to think outside of the already the greats. Who else was a factor?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know, especially some of the little bit younger guys. Like, I don't know if they know Cortez like that. So that'd be a good one to like.
When I made that list, and then I had Warren Sapp, and then I put Jerome Brown on there. People was like, "Oh, how you forget about Vince Wilfork?" I was like, "How Vince Wilfork? Like, I don't put him in those guys' category, even though Vince Wilfork."
You're right.
You're
right.
Because
it's gonna be fun to say too.
Yeah, because you got the ones that you can't like. No matter what, nobody's going above them. Like Ed and Sean, we know nobody's going above that.
Nobody's ever going above that.
You know, with Warren and Jerome Brown, I don't think nobody is going above that. So that's why, you know, I think it'll be a little bit easier because it'll make us think of even some of the newer guys that came through the program. We could be like, oh, yeah, he was – because a lot of those – some of those guys I've forgotten. I got some names, but I don't want to talk about it now because I know we got other stuff that we got to deal with. But yeah, man, it's going to be fun.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, we'll just get into it, man. You know, that's ball talk, kind of barbershop talk, but that was a fun little game, man. We're going, like D-Rod said, we're going to bring it back. Welcome to 26 Degrees, man. It's your boy, Larry. Sorry for the delay, been moving. Just got a new place, so we up the road a little bit, and boring ass, dead ass, I guess good for my old ass, Edgewater. Florida, never come here. There's nothing to do, nothing to see. Just keep driving. When you see it on the exit, just keep on rolling. But, yeah, set up shop here, man. And so been in the middle of moving around. So we're going to get back into it. We're going to go over the draft. And then I guess the hottest button issue for everybody right now, you know, it's that time of year, recruiting, man. So we're going to get into some recruiting talks. The hits, the misses, the pivots. We'll see what's going on. Let's see what's going on. With me as usual, the real Phil General X is in the building. Say what's up to the people.
Yo, 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 what's good? What's good? Did we say we was gonna talk about the draft or we just gonna talk about recruiting?
Nah, the draft. Yeah, I just mentioned the draft. Okay, we gotta go over the draft. Yeah, unfortunately, like I said, we had to miss recording, so we gotta at least run through that real fast.
Yeah, the draft was, nice little draft for the Hurricanes. Special man, got to see some of the homies that I've been watching for since I was young. I mean, since they was young, man, get drafted, you know. So, and then we'll talk about some recruiting. We did pull off some guys that, you know, I had factored that would be here, man. But it's a business now, man. It ain't, you know.
Big business, baby. We got. I can't wait to get into that. We got to talk about the big business aspect of it all, man. I see the people upset with something that ain't even happened yet, but we're going to see shortly, seemingly pretty shortly. We got D-Rob with us in the building, of course. Say what's happening.
What's good? Yo, what's going on, man? Another beautiful day. Can't wait to get into this good football talk, man. Let's get it.
My bad. Watch out, pass the rock, man. Pass the fucking ball, man.
Pass the ball. Pass the fucking ball. God. Pass the ball.
We got Maul in the building with us too, man. I was just trying to step away for 2 seconds. Who's that? D. Rogers gave his shortest intro ever. I was like, all right, 2 seconds. I'll be right back. What's up? Say what's up to the people, Maul.
What's good, y'all? Got a little Peyton here with us too.
Hey, what's up, P? Man, that was the greatest clip. That's probably the best sound bite I've heard in the last probably at least 3, 4, 5 years. That was, I found that one the other day. Just like, who said that? Where did that come from? And I ended up looking it up on AI, something like that. It's from some little basketball game. One of them intense coaches, man. But anyways, let's hop into the draft. Good night for the Canes. I mean, no losses. Things went pretty much how I thought they was going to go, generally speaking. I mean, I probably only had one kind of head-scratcher moment for myself. Well, maybe two. We'll see how y'all feel as well. I'm going to go real quick. We'll just – actually, we just go down the picks. We'll just go down the picks, man. So – first Kane off the board was, I mean, I think it was kind of assumed it was going to be him. So it kind of went the way we thought. It was Francis Malinoa, number 10, to the Giants. I didn't necessarily think he was going to go there, though. But, what y'all boys think about that pick, that fit for him?
I don't like it because he's playing for the Giants. That's
automatic enemy, right?
Yeah. I had said him and Cooper, man. They and Cooper played for the Jets, and I'm not even a AFC fan, but I hate the Jets. Like I hate the Jets like as much as I hate Notre Dame. So
yeah, hating the Jets, but that seems personal because the Jets is ass.
Because they the most arrogant people on earth, man. They know they sorry, but they just feel like they got every right.
That's crazy.
That was a good pick for Francis. I think he was the first offensive lineman off the board. Oh, no, he wasn't.
He was second. Yeah. I think they took Spencer Fano.
Yeah, they took the Utah one. So, yeah. I like it. He gonna hold down the right side of the offensive line for Giants for years to come. So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
D-Rod, I heard. What's your thought? They talking about now. Malik Nabers was saying he ain't like the pick, right? Not because he was like shout out Malik too. I thought it was cool. He gave honest takes on his picks. His Bleacher Report was streaming live on HBO, right? So they did a show and it was Micah Parsons and Malik Nabers. They sat down with one of the Bleacher Report guys, draft analyst, da da da. And he gave his take, and he was just like he wasn't really excited about it because he didn't think first. Number one, he wanted Caleb Downs, right? And X, I know you was happy about that get. He was hot. He was like, bro, what are we doing? He was like, I'd rather play with him than against him. So he just didn't feel like it fit the need. But another point that was kind of made is him playing guard. What you think about that?
He could do both.
Yeah, we can trade for him for sure.
Yeah, so I ain't got no problem with it, man. I mean, I think he should have been the first one off the board or whatever or whatnot. I don't get why he wasn't, but they came with all of the medical, all the other type of shit like the day before. They started talking about all this other shit, but I have no issue with it. I have no issue with it. I don't know it really don't matter to me. I mean, if he play guard, cool, because like I said, some people were projecting him as a guard anyway. So yeah. And he's a great run blocker, he's a great run blocker. Will he have problems with maybe certain, if he was to stay at tackle, we have problem with certain DNs? Yes, I think he will. But all in all, like I don't got no problem with that, man. I think he might be I think he'll make a Pro Bowl at tackle, but I think at guard he might be better. He might be a little bit better suited because of his run blocking ability.
Yeah, I think it'll work out. I mean, you know, Eric Flowers, they took him, right?
Ironically,
and they took him pretty early too. Eric, I think, was top 10 as well, right? Like number 7 or something.
Yeah, he was like number 9. Yeah, he was number 9.
And the Giants took him there as well. They took him to play tackle, and you know, he did okay, struggled at times, and then eventually ended up kicking inside the guard and extending his career. He had a better career at guard than he did at playing outside at tackle. So yeah, we're gonna see. I would have thought maybe he'll go where Fanon went, but maybe they just looked at it like maybe more people saw him his future as a guard. So maybe that's how it went.
I ain't want nobody. I like going to the Browns, so I was like glad. I'm glad the Browns didn't take.
Yeah. That ain't an organization I would really like wish on nobody. All right, and then next off the board for us was Ruben Bain, number 15 pick to Tampa Bay. We got a lot of Miami Hurricanes fans that have defected their fanhood. They have officially given up on the Dolphins, which is smart. I can't knock nobody for leaving the Dolphins. I don't care how old you are. If you're at a point in your life where you like, bro, I'm tired of the Miami Dolphins, I can't be mad at you. So yeah, he ends up there slipping a few picks. You know, I don't know, the arm length thing kind of came back around. You know, they're not gonna let that go until he go out there and just prove it's not an issue. But yeah, at 15, what we thinking? What you think, X?
I mean, I guess if that's the issue where they saying it was the arm length, I mean, they basically taking projections instead of looking at the results. And no, hey, them people who make the decision, they get paid to make those decisions. So I'm not mad at it. I like the pick, definitely like the pick. He's over there with a former Hurricane defensive end. What's his name?
Al Kadeem.
Muhammad.
Yeah, Al Kadeem Muhammad.
He's over there with him. So I like the pick, man. And then you know, Norm Ruben, man, he's one of the guys I watched since Ruben was in the ninth grade. He finna work. He finna shop. He gonna have everybody who talking about short arms. He gonna have them people saying, man, yeah, I can't make those statements, because
bro, you see how, man, you see how Rube snatched the hat. He ain't do none of the styling, none of that shit, bro. He's mad as hell. He's like, yo, let's get to work, bro. I'm a buck now. It reminds me of Lamar Jackson. Like Lamar, oh, this how it's going, huh? Y'all taking me way down here. All right, League MVP. I get them vibes, man. I was like, I think y'all fucking up, dog.
Ruben right now is working, like.
Right.
Everybody out celebrating, they getting drafted, and Ruben's working. He out there hustling. You know, he working. So, and he gonna show them, like, you know, it ain't about me having or me being 6'5" and having 35-inch arms. And nah, you take the people who create the results. You know what I'm saying? If that was the case, you just draft anybody who's 6'5" and 260.
Right. Yeah, if it was as simple as measurables, this guy would be a hell of a lot easier. And you know what's funny? And I meant to bring it up before, but I saw it somewhere where he said he's got the same wingspan as Joey Bosa. So he's wider across, so he still has wide reach, and his arms are just a little bit shorter. So I mean, he still is wide across and can use it. I mean, it ain't hurt him yet. That's the craziest thing to me, because I'm like, y'all showing all of these people he playing. He wasn't playing against little dudes. I get it if he played at a four level of competition, but he went up against Texas A&M and dominated. He went up against Notre Dame and dominated. Went up against, Florida. Ole Miss, Ohio State. Like, who?
Don't forget his freshman year against when Clemson had the NFL tackle.
He got drafted. He went first round this year, right?
Yeah, dominated him. Like, dominated.
Right. Yeah, killed him that game. Smoked him. He was a baby. So, I don't know. I think this is one of them situations where they overthinking it. And I think that's why I say I can't wait to see the redraft, next year, where I already see they're gonna put him at the Jets over Bailey. They're gonna drop Bailey a spot or two. I can see it already. I can't wait. I expect big things out of him. And even if it ain't just in the sack numbers, he's just gonna always be very disruptive. He's just gonna always keep that quarterback uncomfortable. So,
and he's a great run stopper. You know what I'm saying?
That's, right. So you get
that's
right.
The thing. You're not looking at like you're not just get. If you just wanted a sack guy, then yeah, you go get you a fast edge guy.
Right.
Come off the edge, but you get in a complete.
You're talking a three down defensive end. Yeah. And if you want to do some things again, you can kick them inside. You know what I'm saying? On certain packages, like, you know what? Here go our NASCAR. Here go our speed package. We're going to keep rooting. And he's going to be super effective there. I think they let that arm length thing overthink it and might have put themselves in. It's going to be some people kicking themselves. But I get it because, you know, like they say, a lot of guys win and lose their jobs here. And so if it worked, then you're a genius. But if it don't work, then they're going to say, man, you knew he had them short arms. And you know, the only person that came up shorter than him was Pollock. David Pollock was the only one who had shorter.
He was trash.
He would have been ice. He broke his neck. He was the boy. He was a bad boy until he snapped his neck. That, you know.
I don't know. I didn't really pay him much attention when he got to the NFL. But
he ain't get, yeah, because his career was cut short.
It's one thing, right, that I noticed. The dude from Ohio State who they was hyping up, Caden Curry, who
was hyping up. 9 out of 10.
Yeah, him. You know, he had short arms too, but look where he went. He went damn near sixth round. So it's like.
Because he wasn't nowhere near the beast.
Exactly.
Only controversial because he's a beast. So it's like, yeah. Because you think about Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's 6 foot. That's not pro. He's the best defensive tackle to ever play this game at the pro level.
I was just going to bring that up because Lewis Riddick talked about that. You know, he went to Pitt. Aaron Donald went to Pitt. Like, if you watch the film, Aaron Donald was the number one pick that year. But just because of measurements, they pretty much these GMs, they can't validate that pick. Or if it don't work out, you lose your job because we invested the top 10 pick, which to me is stupid. Because if you watch the film, I could understand it.
Yeah, you understand what I did.
It's a short-arm guy who's at Mississippi Valley State, but he had a great combine or something.
Right.
Like, you know, the guy, if you watch the playoffs, there's no way you should have any doubts about Bane's ability to play football at the highest possible level.
Right. Aaron Donald had, like you say, his film was great, except against Miami. Go watch that Miami game. I remember that game.
Yeah.
We watched that game. I was surprised.
Yeah. He measured.
Linder.
He measured. Yeah. No. It wasn't Linder.
It wasn't Linder.
Was it No. Was it Linder?
I think it was Linder that year. I just remember this. I remember him getting oxygen on the side and not creating the pressure that he had typically created. So shout out to the O-line there. You have to go back and look it up. But I remember that specific game because I was scared of him coming in that game. And I was like, damn, we got old boy in the twilight zone. But anyway, what was the point you was about to make? We'll move on to the next.
I'm about to say, shoot, he measured in at 6 feet, 285 pounds at the draft.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But and he was the first round and he was the 14th pick. Now, mind you, like you said, defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody drafting no damn, you know what I'm saying? 6 feet, 285 pounds.
Three, 330.
But he had that dog in him.
He reminded me of Ruben Bass, like just built to do it. Like, and Aaron just like pure muscle too. This dude got an 8-pack. He's just a whole different beast. But right behind him, at the 22nd pick, the Chargers took the other bookend, which a lot of people think could be better. That was some of the arguments out there. I think it's close. 1A, 1B. I really just think on the pen, you know, difference too, though, is Mesidor is a little bit older. So we still got more left on the plate for Ruben, man. You got to remember, last year he was hurt pretty much the whole year, too. Fresh year in the year, he came out, he showed a lot of like, okay, this is a dude. Sophomore year, he's hurt. Junior year, is like, oh, this is the dude. And then, you know, so the Mesidor path was basically a lot of injuries. That kind of held him up, and then finally he got healthy, got that foot together, and I'm pretty sure X, you called it too. I'm pretty certain. I think he was all pretty high, but I definitely remember you saying like, we got to watch out for Mesidor and shit. And then he ends up with San Diego. I think a great landing spot for him. But not San Diego. I cannot get over saying San Diego Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers. I still say it to this day.
I like the pick for them. They finna get a guy who, he's one who had to prove it throughout his career. Remember, he's from Canada.
Right.
Didn't play a whole lot of football and as a younger guy. Went to West Virginia, right? He went to West Virginia.
Yeah.
And played good his freshman year, ended up leaving, coming to Miami. Each year it just seemed like he ended up getting hurt before he could just show his full potential. Was finally able to have a full season where he's not hurt and showed his full potential. And you've seen it on the field. The crazy thing is, it's a lot of talk saying, well, yeah, he's only been good because Ruben Baines on the other side. I mean, well, now he's finna be in the NFL. So if he does this, what you gonna say? He's only good because they got such and such. I mean, they draft good players. You know what I'm saying? So you just gotta do your thing.
I can't buy into that. Again, you watch film, they do the same exact things. Like, these are guys that are super nasty with their hands. Shout out to Taylor, man. Like, that's why I give you credit for development, right? When you got a Jason Taylor just giving you all these little tips and tricks in the trade, you can see it. Like, ain't no doubt about it, man. And these guys play with violent, violent hands. And both of them got great bend. They're like damn near identical to me, except the actual measurables. Because, again, you get a three-down defensive end. He can help you in every phase of the game. Disciplined players. Like, we've seen undisciplined players and how they ended up slipping in and how they weren't, even though, you start off with this kind of burst and this shine. But you in the NFL, we got to be able to count on you in every phase of the game, especially if you're talking about a true, 4-3 DN.
And he could get, they could kick him inside too.
Right. Done that too. Right. You get a toolsy player too. Excellent pickup by them. And the other thing too, man. I love the celebration of all the first rounders, man. CC, repping for the hometown. Rube with the brown. Shout out to the brown Adidas suit. I said, yo, that's an Adidas suit. Boy had an Adidas suit on, the whole family. That was fire. I like that, man. And, Akeem just with all his family, man. And they was, shouting for him, man. Shout out to Zos, man. And then nothing happened for us in the second. Third round, we get three guys. So a guy that I think this is kind of where we originally penciled him in. Some people thought he might go a little earlier. Weak quarterback draft, but third round. Pick 65, Arizona take Carson Beck. And I think great, great situation for him.
Good pickup.
Right? You go behind Brissett, we was trying to get him to come to Miami.
Yeah.
We end up going to Florida and then NC State, right?
Yeah. You end up going to Florida.
He just hang around the league and just do good all the time. Like Jacoby Brissett, when they put him in, he play good. What's the thing, D-Rob, on Carson going to Arizona? Play with his homeboy, Jeremiah Love.
You know what? I ain't going to lie, bro. That's a good spot for him. I think that's a good spot for him. He get a chance to learn behind Brissett. I think he, out of all the quarterbacks, I think he can probably get on the field faster than Mendoza. And the reason why is because they've already said, Kirk Cousins is the guy, for them right now. He's the guy. I think with Arizona, it's more of, I think with Arizona, I think it's more of, Jacoby, he's the guy. But I think that if he don't look good, if Carson impresses, I think that they might give him a shot. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I think Arizona see who's available in that 2027 and be like, boy, I compare Marvin Harrison Jr. with Jeremiah Smith. Like, I could do some things with that. And you'll have Jeremiah Love at running back. So I think a lot of teams are. Yeah.
Hey, listen. This is how it would be for me and Jeremiah Love for his entirety of his career. It's fuck that young dude. Respect him. Because he kept bringing us up. Right? We done moved on. And we didn't beat y'all on the field. He always got away at the combine. He talked about us. He was cheering for Texas A&M. I'm like, no, I can't respect it. Texas A&M beat y'all too. What are you doing? So there's no respect for that. I never, that sucker shit to me. You ain't do shit against my squad or any other good squad. I mean, I wish you all the success. And you with the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm a 49ers fan. So yeah, it's definitely the most respectful fuck you that I can muster up. And I still think you're overrated. Honestly, I do think you're overrated. We'll see. We'll see how great a runner he really is, because it's the big boy league now.
I don't think, yeah.
All that jumping ain't going.
Yeah, I said the same thing. You ain't finna hurt him over nobody, boy. But you gonna get your whole head cracked trying to jump over somebody in the league like that.
I tell you right now,
he ain't Saquon.
Wait, they are excited. Oh. Like, jump your ass up there if you want to. That's when you gonna get welcome to the league.
Your first name ain't Saquon, your last name ain't Barkley.
For the past 2 weeks, every mock draft had the Titans getting them, and I ain't want them, man, but I had to buy into the fact. And then after he didn't go, I was happy. But then, because he went so early, all them Notre Dame fans went back to my mentions after I told them Francis is going to go before him. So I was like,
I think it's a reach. I think they could. I don't know. Like I said, my thing, because like we said before, this is about production to me. And I think when you looked at Jeremiah against any decent team, he just kind of got washed out. He just wasn't. You look at all his highlights against like Pitt, who just, they had good linebackers. That was about it.
Syracuse, he had
Syracuse, you go crazy, Syracuse. Right? Like it's not against the big boys. Not when the opportunity to line up and prove it. Yeah, 30 against mine. Shout out to that Notre Dame fan.
Then another thing, right? Yep, and then another
not
thing.
That good.
Yeah, and then another thing is it was a reach. You know, he by him signing his contract, he's the third highest paid running back in the NFL.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. And if he don't give you that type of production, oh my gosh! Because now you really kind of have no choice but to start him, because he making $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he's starting. Mendoza gonna start too. Probably take about 5 games. He gonna start. They say that every year.
Yeah, because
they got a whole bunch of running backs. They signed Algier from Atlanta. They got Ben still. They still got James Conner. So it's like y'all drafted a running back. And don't get me wrong, this is a weak running back draft, which is why I think he went so early. Which was why I was like, and a question I have for y'all: I know Fletcher's on the team, but if Fletcher was in this draft, I thought he would have been the second back taken.
I think he would have been third. I think he would have been the third. I think because to be honest, this is me. Yes, Jadarian. Me personally, I like Jadarian Prince more than Jeremiah Love. Me personally, I think he does a whole lot more. I think he's gonna. I think the start of the career. He's not gonna start at He's gonna start. He's gonna start because.
Because they lost Kenneth Walker
and Zach Charbonnet, he tore his ACL in the playoffs. Yeah. So Jadarian Prince is going to start. He's number one.
Yeah, if he don't take advantage, then that'll show us something. But yeah, you're right. The gateway is open up for him.
I could have seen him. Yeah, I could have seen Clark being Mark being the third running back. It all depends on what he would have ran in the 40, though.
I think breaking news.
Go ahead.
Former Alabama tackle pleads guilty to defrauding investors using wigs to impersonate NFL players. So they got, bro, he was out here big scamming. I mean, if you fall for a wig, see, that's racist. Like, this nigga was just different niggas because he put a wig on. Nah, charge it to the game, bro. Charge it to the game. And his name Luther Davis. It ain't a joke either. He ain't even Nigerian. Brother's name is Luther Davis, who sounds like a scammer. You know what I'm saying? In a different way. But yeah, that just came across. He pled guilty. Let's see how it go for him, man. That's so funny, bro. That is one of the funniest stories I think we done ever come across in the sports world ever. But let's keep it moving, man. Not right after Carson, but a couple of picks after Carson, Markell Bell, Philly. I think great landing spot. They usually do a good job evaluating, yeah, and it's a spot for him right there to start too. What you about to say, X?
Another ops, man. God.
Yeah, it hurt. You know, that's the worst part about the NFL when they go to the other side.
Going like, to the teams I can't take, man. But yeah, good spot. I'm not sure if he comes in and start right away. Maybe they work him in there. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, and Philly not a bad team, so it's like you don't really expect him to start unless.
Right.
They left tackle just isn't, you know what I'm saying, available already. So I like it. I like it. Definitely like it. Hope he prepared for the cold, though, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Different beast out there in Philly. And, you know, he's a guy, too, I think. If Markell gets to come back one more year, I think he has the potential to jump into that first. I think teams probably want to see him keep because he got better, you know, from his junior year. To his senior year, and if he could have gave us one more year, I think he could have jumped up his stock quite a bit as well. But third round definitely ain't bad at all, and I think he landed in a good situation. I agree. I don't think he starts right away, but I definitely can see him being a starter in 3 years or so. I think you know it's a good pathway. He gonna get work because he got to go up against some dogs over there on that Philly defense, man.
Yeah.
And you got some big boys over there. You got the old and former Georgia Bulldogs over there. Boys biting, man. So you're going to get a hell of an introduction to the NFL just in practice. And then, you know, a guy that we argued a lot back and forth, not argued, but kind of went back and forth on, you know, man, team MVP outside, you know, Rue, Jacoby Thomas. Ends up going number 98 to the Minnesota Vikings.
Excellent pick, man.
I think he's going to end up being a sleeper. I think some of his best football is still ahead of him as well. He got an attitude. He showed with us the ability to go get the ball as well, which I think was probably his biggest question, his coverage ability. But what you think, D-Rock?
I was about to say, I think that's a great spot for him with Brian Flores, because that man is a wizard as far as the DC, and he knows what he's doing. He's really good, really good defensive coordinator. He gets the best out of his guys. I'm a little shocked because I kind of thought Keontae was going to go before him, which I think a lot of us did.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's a real good spot for him. I didn't see him at Minnesota. I really didn't see him going to Minnesota, but you know, hey man, I'm.
Well, Harrison Smith, has he officially retired yet? I don't think he has. But he got to be getting ready.
Yeah, he's close. If he hasn't, yeah, he's real close.
Start for him. Yeah, he's still start. He's still effective. But yeah, Harrison Smith been playing back there for a long time, dog. But he's still damn good safety. But I know he's got to be inching towards that line. And then after Jacoby, you had in round four, Keontae Scott. And, you know, at pick 116, now this one, you know, went to Tampa Bay. And that's why a lot of Canes fans decided, all right, it's official. I'm really going over there now. And like I said, it's bang, bang, 49 a game for life for me. But, you know, Tampa close enough that I'll definitely try to go catch a game just to see if I can see them boys out there. That'd be fun. Yeah, because if you looked at most lists, they had him as a top 50 player regardless. Like, almost – I don't think anybody had him outside of the top 50. I believe he's still 24 as well. So the only knock I could see on Keontae might have just been the age. But it didn't hurt Mezador as much. I think the position is probably what hurt him the most, is that he's probably a true nickel or whatever. Go ahead.
Then they was rumbling about some off-field things that happened at his previous schools and stuff like that, which I'd be like, man, if it ain't detrimental to a person, livelihood, like what are we talking about? Off field issues. Like I just don't be getting.
They use that shit a lot of time to get a discount, man. I really believe that should be like, you know what? See if we can knock a couple dollars off. See if we can get it for a little bit lower, man. Cause Yeah, just he didn't get in no problems with Miami. You know, he never got it. He's a grown ass man now. He understands things that he may not have understood previously. And people grow. You know, people come from different circumstances. And sometimes it just takes getting around the right situation to truly get your mind right and get you to, you know, truly lock in. But I think he's, I don't know if you're going to see a more locked in individual. And that's one thing I like about Tampa Bay taking him and Rube as well. I think both of them got a nice little chip on their shoulder that's going to be an extra motivating factor. That's going to, I think, it's going to actually work. Because a chip on the shoulder is one thing, but it shit don't matter if you just ain't good enough. Like, you can be mad at the world all you want to be. You ain't good enough, you ain't good enough. But I think you're talking about two individuals that are more than good enough.
And I say Todd Bowles going to get the best out of them, too. You know, a defensive coach.
Absolutely.
Fit. Like, that brother going, he going to maximize them for sure.
Yeah, Bowles an underrated coach. Yeah, Bowles is that dude. His son end up at Georgia, right?
Yeah, that was like a full shot
linebacker. Yeah,
either Georgia or Notre Dame.
No, it was Georgia.
Georgia? Okay.
That's a good point too. I didn't even think about Bowles. Bowles being there, I think, ends up putting them in an even better situation. I think Tampa Bay runs a good organization as well. So. All right, we have two more picks.
Hold on, real quick. Marion, two things, right? So Harrison Smith, they released him this offseason because he was contemplating retirement, but they said that it's a chance that they might just bring him back on a 1-year deal because right now they have somebody named Josh Martellus starting, and then Jacoby Thomas is his backup. So I think that's it. And then with Keontae, they got him listed as the free safety backup to Antoine Winfield, which I think is a mistake if they want him to play free safety.
Yeah.
Because you have a nickel, right? I think that's his bread and butter spot. So I mean, I get it. They put these depth charts out where they think these guys are gonna play, but I don't like they have Reuben Bain as the left outside linebacker because they run the 3-4, so he's on the left side. You basically a stand up end. Which I think that's better suited for him as a stand up, like a, you know what I'm saying, a stand up end. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Which
we'll
I see. Mean, we ran some looks like that this year too, just because, Heatherman, he likes that look in his defense as well. So, all right. And then our 2 6 rounders at 188, the Jets took Big Coop. I know that's X probably. I know that's your favorite offensive lineman, at least in the last
favorite, time. Man. So, that's my favorite player, man. And he's an ops now. Like, come on, man.
I fuck with Coop, man. Coop talked that big talk, man. But then he just go out there and back it up. I like it, man. They cut your head, boy, out of Bama, you know. he got a swagger and an edge about him that's authentic. He played with a mean streak. And a confidence and an attitude, and you know, like they said, there wasn't no bigger trash talk on the team. He said it's funny. He said in that little clip too. He's like, when it's my team, it's, you know, it's out of love, but I mean it when I'm talking to the rest of. And he was always the one that I couldn't wait to after game for him to get on live. I'm like, all right, what Coop about to say on this live?
Yeah, but he went on Kermani McClain, but he went in on Kermani, but
yeah, look, Banks, all of them, man. People like he hard to block. Coop like, nah, not really.
Yeah,
nah, I wouldn't say so. I don't know what y'all been watching. It looked like Togman, you know. He was the guy. He was there on the first rounder, right? I forget who took Banks.
It was a reach. This guy might even play this year.
That one perplexed me too. I was like, from Busby injured, you know. I get the look. He definitely looks like a football player. No question about it.
But
yeah, I just don't know. I don't think it's put together well enough on film for me to be like, this is a guy I'm taking first round. I probably roll the dice on Banks in the third. I'm not going first round for him just personally, but. Again, you know, that organization never really does great, but I think Coop's an NFL player, period. I think he ends up having a nice 7-8 year career, maybe longer. We'll see. I've always had that confidence in him. And, you know, we'll see if it ends up panning out there in New York or if he ends up finding himself in a better situation later on. And then the last pick we had was in the sixth round, pick 197, was our dog CJ Daniels. You know, CJ, kind of same rap on him. I get it. He's a hell of a playmaker, a little bit older, a little bit injury prone. So,
yeah, can't stay healthy, man. Got to be available.
Yeah. He makes plays.
Listen, he out of all the draft picks we got, all the draft picks that the people got drafted, I think he's in the best spot. He's in the best spot. You're learning behind Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, two of the best wide receivers in the game, right? And it's not like he's not getting pushed into the starting. He's not getting pushed to start. Like, you got it. Bane is probably going to start. You know what I'm saying? We know he's going to do his thing. That's a great spot for him. But I think, for long term, as far for these other guys, I think CJ Daniels is probably in the best spot. He's in the best spot.
We'll see. We'll see. Real quick before we get out of this, what y'all guys think of your first round draft pick for your team? If you have one. Did y'all have one?
Oh, Bills boy.
No, we traded ahead, back, but I'll explain it.
I'm about to say, go ahead.
Oh, man. I love the Caleb Downs. I mean, that thing, listen, I was so excited when we got him because it's crazy because all throughout the college season, I was like, man, the Cowboys, we better draft Caleb Downs. I kept saying, we better draft Caleb Downs. We ain't drafted a good safety since. I don't know. I want to say Roy Williams, but we got that pick, and I loved it. And then we had a second first-round pick. The guy from UCF, I wasn't too high on that one. I felt like we could have done another job.
Oh, the DN from UCF.
Yeah, the DN. I feel like we could have got another defensive back or a linebacker. I just didn't, you know, I didn't think it was a good enough defensive end at that position.
That spot.
We got him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm iffy with it. You know, they saying he's good and stuff like that. And the crazy thing is he played on the team with the little homie, Najee Kelele.
Yeah.
I was like,
Najee came out, right?
Yeah, Najee came out. He came out. He got picked up as a free agent.
Okay.
But, so, yeah, my first round pick, I mean, I'm cool with it. You know, I don't think the DN, if he comes in to start right away, he must be good, but with the Caleb Downs thing.
Malachi Lawrence. That's what his name is.
Malachi Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Caleb Downs thing. I love it, man. I felt like he's the man. He's a good safety, man.
He plug and play start, yeah. And I think he helps y'all a lot on that back end. I think that was a very smart pickup. That's why, you know, it's funny because my neighbors was like, bro, because he didn't want Arvell Reese either. He wanted Caleb Downs at that fifth spot. He was just cheering for Caleb Downs the whole time. He was like, all right, Reese, I get it. And then when he took Francis, he was like, damn it, bro, what are we doing? And then the next pick, Cowboys did the right thing, man. Michael Parsons, I was watching their feed just because I was like, I'd rather listen to something a little different. And them boys had a whole kickback, laid-back vibe, you know, track suit. And, you know, them boys were just vibing and talking and giving real perspective. I actually like that. And yeah, he was all about getting downs. So I'm in the same boat as you, D-Rob. What happened with the Bills in the first round?
All right, so this is from what I know. We wanted the dude that Dallas got, Malachi Lawrence. Okay. Before the draft, like, it was talk before about, you know,
hold on real quick before you go any further, because you got Gray. Who the other end?
No, Bradley Chubb. Because we switched to a 3-4 defense. So now we switched to a 3-4. So Greg and Chubb, they're the outside linebackers now, slash, you know what I'm saying, the stand-up DNs now. So they wanted more pass rush. We wanted more pass rush. So Malachi Lawrence was the guy. Like, they were waiting. We honestly, I thought we was going to get him. I was like, ain't no, I don't think nobody else going to get him. I was shocked that Dallas went that direction. I didn't think they were going to go and grab him. You know what I'm saying? So when they did that, that was made us trade back. Well, no, when they took him, I was like, okay, well, we're going to get Caden McDonald because he's a nose tackle. Granted, we have a nose tackle on the team, but, you know, I was like, that's what I was assuming. then we traded back. I'm like, okay. Well, we didn't get Casey Concepcion got picked by the Browns, and then Malachi Lawrence got picked by the Cowboys. So that's two of the guys who I know that we were looking at. They're both gone. So then we traded back again. I was like, okay, now I'm lost. Like, I don't know what we're doing, because if you wanted Katie McDonald, you would have picked him at 31 after you right. traded back again, but you didn't. So as I was looking through, like, you know, following Buffalo Bills pages and, you know, the groups and all the other type of stuff, I was like, okay, they're going to go DN. And if they want a pass rusher, and if they want a pass rusher, like, I put out a couple names. So me and my guy, we was having a conversation. And the names that I came up with, I'm going to give it to you real quick. I was talking to him about R. Mason Thomas. Mm-hmm. I was talking about R. Mason Thomas. What's the other guy's name? TJ Parker didn't come up as one of the guys that I was thinking about.
In the first round, though?
No, second round.
No, because they moved to the second.
I'm saying after we moved back. Yeah, we moved. Right, yeah, we moved back. So I was thinking like R. Mason Thomas. I was thinking the guy from Texas Tech, Lee Hunter. I was thinking CJ Allen, the linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Because they fit the 3-4. I wasn't thinking about Parker at the time, but then we drafted him. I was like, oh, I like it. Yeah. I like what he did. Now, that granted, his last year, the year before last, he had a great year. You know what I'm saying? He was all ACC. He had, 11 sacks or whatever the case may be last year. Right. That team really wasn't that good, so it did tell off. So I think that's kind of why he failed. But a lot of people had them on their board as a first-round pick. So I was actually pretty happy, you know what I'm saying, that we got I was happy with our draft, and you know what I'm saying?
Good value.
So I was good. Right. Yeah, good value. So I was good with it.
I feel you. We traded out of the Niners, we traded out of the first and then decided. So we took the first pick in the second round. And we went with DeJuan Stribling from Ole Miss, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. We need wide receivers. I just didn't know if I liked him there. I mean, they clearly did. They must have worked him out and was just really impressed with him. You know, he played three schools, I think. I know he played at Oklahoma State, and then he ended up with Ole Miss. I feel like he played somewhere before Oklahoma State, too, though. I mean, good frame. And at that part, I do like, because he's a 6'2 receiver, 200-pounder, which my idea, what I'm thinking is, he's the Mike Evans replacement, because, you know, we signed Mike. I doubt they think we're going to get more than 2 years out of Mike. He signed a four-year deal, but I'm sure the real framework in their mind is we in a Super Bowl window, so let's try to go ahead and get it now. So you bring in Mike. So I like bringing in Mike. I don't know. I have the Boston kid higher than him. And Boston ended up going a few picks later. Denzel Boston, he ended up going to the Browns a little later. So I would have been happier. I'm not super mad at a wide receiver pick. I just would have probably went, if I was taking a wide receiver, I would have probably went Boston with that spot. But if it was just me, period, I get why they traded back. I probably would have tried to invest again in the pass rush, but I think it kind of became they didn't see the value there anymore at guys that they would have really wanted. So I understand it. We'll see. Stribling, he ain't going to – I don't see him coming in and starting and all, because we brought in Evans and we brought in Christian Kirk. And then, you know, Ricky Pearsall, if he gets healthy, you know, he's played good when he's been healthy, but again, availability. So that's been a big issue with him. So we'll see. I ain't thrilled. But we'll see how it ends up panning out. But anyways, yeah, that's it all wrapped up. I want to ask Maul, but he ain't here, about Carnell Tate, because I'm kind of on that boat too. I thought Tate went a little high, so I was curious to see what he thought.
Oh, definitely a reach. He's not. So, and everybody's saying is like he's never been the number one on his team.
Right.
So how do you draft a receiver that high, the first receiver at that? And now you're trying to say he's going to be the number one receiver But you know, the one thing about it is I do think Cam, you know what I'm saying, work it out. I think ain't really still over there, right? Really just was hurt.
Really that, yeah, he just was hurt a lot. Okay,
yeah, he won't be number one. He won't be number one guy anyway. So
yeah. I think they're gonna look for him to be though, you know, because he's a big friend. Yeah. They picked him, you know, where they did. I don't know, because like people talk about Jeremiah Smith, but I was like, but he been there before Jeremiah. So
yeah,
he had his opportunity. I know Jeremiah different creature, don't get me wrong. Everybody know next year he one or two coming off the board. We already know that. But I think Carnell's a good wide receiver, but he was a five-star receiver too. And I don't know if he was a five-star receiver. I'll say that. When it was all said and done at his time at Ohio State. But best of luck to him, man. I hope it do work out for Cam's sake, especially. So and last thing on the draft, Ty Simpson. That was crazy. First off, they brought us back into it about us paying them six. I'm like, who's gonna pay them six? That's not crazy on today's market, right?
Nope.
That's not insane. But I thought the Rams, yeah, everybody did. I thought the Rams reached a little bit there. And you can see it all on Sean McVay's face too. Sean was like, the fuck, man. We could win a Super Bowl and we wasted a first round pick on a quarterback. Like, I do agree. Like, you got Matt Stafford just won the MVP. This is not the time to hire his replacement when you're picking at 13 in the draft, man. You right there. I thought that was a wild pick for them.
I think the reason why they did it, granted, I would have waited till next year because next year is going to be a way better quarterback class because you got at least like four guys probably first round. But I think that they're thinking, okay, what if this is Stafford's last year, right? Now next year you possibly have to go in with drafting a quarterback and they might have to be your starter because you might not have a veteran. It might not be a veteran, you know what I'm saying, that you want to put because you're in win now mode. I mean, you're not waiting. Yeah, you're not waiting. But I get why they did it because now, let's just say if Stafford do retire, whatever, Simpson has been in the system a year now. He knows the system. He knows what's going on. Yeah. So he can probably go in there because I don't see a veteran guy because you're not going to – Tua's going to be a free agent. You're not looking at Tua. You're not looking at Kyler. You're not looking at nothing like that. You're going to probably rather get somebody that's already – that already is in your system and knows the offense to run it or even to manage it. Because you know what I'm saying? Like all Ty Simpson has to do is manage it with the receivers you have. You just have to manage it. Like you cannot mess that up.
Yeah,
you could have got that in the second round, man.
Exactly. I was about to say, for my pushback,
not for number 13.
But somebody's going to get the Cardinals were going to trade back up into the first round and they were going to take Ty Simpson. That's known. They were going to take him in the first. That's why LA did it. Because if they wouldn't have taken him then.
I would have just took that chance. I'm not drafting.
Yeah.
Number 13. Man. Hey. Good. No, I get it. I wouldn't have been.
It's another caveat to that, too. Go ahead and make your point. I'll tell you in a second.
No, I was just saying, like, I wouldn't have did it either. You know what I'm saying? I probably would have looked at something else that would have helped me. Probably on the defensive side of the ball, you know, something that would have helped me because your defensive line is straight. Probably a linebacker, or if there was a linebacker that was good enough, probably would have did that. You know what I'm saying? But like, I wouldn't have gotten to. I understand why they did it, but I wouldn't have done it because, like I said, Arizona was waiting. If they would have got past the Rams, Arizona was going to trade up until the 20s. I would not be surprised if the Cowboys probably would have traded their pick and got some more something else from for later on the draft to give to for them to get Ty Simpson.
Yeah.
Or Pittsburgh, because okay. Pittsburgh was, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had a later pick, too. They had, like, a 19, one of those. They probably would have picked him.
This is the thing. They're in that position. They're desperate. Those guys need a quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense to me. I just didn't understand, standing from the Rams' perspective, you do not need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, so, and it's the other thing. He ain't got that many snaps. He don't have the snaps to you invest this high. Nobody does that anymore. Everybody that's going high at QB now has snaps. You know what they can do. It's enough tape on them. And the other part that I heard the story, I think it was the NFL channel, basically the reason, you know, his dad's a head coach at UT, was it UT Tennessee Martin or whatever, UT Martin, Martin. So he's got relationships. So he put feelers out like, hey, what do you think about my son? You know, what's the word? He got some good feedback, you know, which is one reason he decided to come on out. Well, he's got a relationship with the Rams owner or GM, somebody higher. I can't remember which one it was. But basically, he said, watch my son come out. He says, if he do, I'm going to make him a Los Angeles Ram. So I'm like, all right. I mean, yeah, if it's that good and you got something banging on it like that, makes sense to me. I think they reaching. I think it was I'm in that school now. I want a quarterback with a lot of snaps before I draft him into my organization. It's just been proven to work in the last few years. If you even just look at us with Brock Purdy, got a lot of snaps before he got to us. You know, Cam Ward, a lot of snaps. This guy's played 1 year. That was so funny. He's talking about he didn't want to ruin his legacy. Man, he's not a top 15 Alabama quarterback ever. You're not. Like, no one's going to mention you with the great quarterbacks. Not that they had the greatest of great season anyway. So I just thought that was funny. But anyways, let's move on, man, to the hot topic, hot button issue, recruiting. It's that time of year. All the fans is in a frenzy. They cussing Mario out. You know, I love it, man. This is what I love about college football. One of the favorite things about college football is this. It's the one game, right, where fans always forget about the toy you just got them for the shiny new toy. Every single year you see it happen. We can't miss on this one. We can't miss on that one. And that, last year you just got last cycle, you just picked up this guy and that guy. So we just picked up, right, number one tackle in the country, right? Number one player in the country, right? And the cycle right before. And now you're telling me I got to get the number one tackle the next cycle? I don't know. But we'll start with the running back who was, I mean, by all accounts, he was bagged up. That situation was pretty much, it was going well. I think he wanted to come to Miami. And he takes a late visit and then ultimately ends up deciding to go with Auburn. And I mean, Dex, you said it. I mean, for the fans, I guess that still may question it all. Why did he pick them?
Well, money.
money,
man. They big business, man. They listen, I'm not mad at them, man. Listen, if they cutting checks like that, hey. Let's go. Let's run.
That's Mycen Johnson Cook, too, by the way. I'm sorry to say
that. Yeah, Mycen Johnson Cook. Money. And then, you know, they giving him the talk about he can play star as soon as he get on campus. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Mario ain't telling no running back you're going to start at Miami like that. You know what I'm saying?
Why lie? Will he start next year? Did any of y'all think that? You think that'd be rough?
Let's start. We're at Auburn or here?
No, he's
not starting. He's not starting over because even if Fletcher gone, you still got Brown, you got Lyle, and you still got Mallory. You're not coming in and taking them boys. Nah, they're not going for that.
Pringle, don't forget Pringle.
Pringle too, yeah.
Right. So he's not starting. So without the direct numbers, I mean, I heard basically we don't have to, you know, even
seven figures,
right? Seven figures, basically top transfer running back number, right? Like, so we talking about in the $700,000-$800,000 range, right? And this is for a guy who's already been out there improving himself at the collegiate level. That's what they kind of fetching right now on the open market. And that's not good enough, right? And let's be clear, the staff looks at him as a top five premier running back in high school and a guy that they absolutely did want. I don't think nobody got to like sugarcoat or play that any type of different way. This was a want. But If I'm willing to give you $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, and you haven't played, and you probably not going to play, you're not going to start for me next season. That's just not what's going to happen. Can I now get outbid by a team that wants to give you $900,000, $1 million, $1 million plus? I mean, what's y'all take on that? Like, where do you?
Yeah.
If you're Miami, you are Miami right now. You going up? You off? Let's say you offer them $750,000, and then he countered with, "Well, Auburn offered me $950,000." What's your stand?
Go have a good career, man. Wish best luck. Best wishes, man. Listen, one thing about it, running back position is being so. It's devalued. You know what I'm saying? I'm not paying a running back that type of money when I could get multiple running backs for that. You know, I could get two running backs for $500,000. You know what I'm saying?
That could produce.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I'm not giving a running back $750,000 because now you got a conflict, right? Because now it's not a running back on your roster. I mean, maybe Fletcher's probably getting that after the year he had. He's probably getting that. Right. But you think you about to get more than what Brown and Lott, you think you about to get more than them? And you just gave Pringle probably a little extra money because he was about to jump in the portal. Nah, man, we ain't doing that. You also got to be a businessman. Like, get it. Like, that's why with recruiting now, I'm like, if we whiff, I know what it is. It ain't because we sorry. It's right. Because we get, you know, it's being outbid. Or you development, okay, Auburn. I mean, yes, have they developed running backs lately? No.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, no. So we know it ain't that. You seen what our running back did, you know what I'm saying, and the opportunities he had behind that offensive line. Now you're going to an offense where the quarterback is probably going to get more carries than you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. That's why I say, man, it's the money. It's about the money. But you know what? Hey, more power to him, man. Go get your bread. Because guess what? After that year, you might jump in that portal and be like, yeah, this ain't for me. I can't do this.
Let me say this. After watching the draft, seeing a lot of the players, a lot of them who did, well, the ones who were able to leave early, a lot of them, you know, I seen some say they kind of regretted it. They wish they could have stayed back in college because they was making more in college than they're going to make.
Right.
In the NFL. So, yep. And that's why I'm saying I don't have a problem with it. Get your money. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because you might be into a situation where you get drafted in the third round and you might make $1 million. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
You done made that in 1 year in college. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm not mad at it. You know, it's big business, man. You know, I've been saying it for years, man. It's when the money got involved, it's gonna be money. Get out your emotional feelings, because if that's your son, and they say, "Son, Miami's offering you $750,000," I want you to be a Hurricane. I'm a Hurricane fan, man. Auburn just came and called, said they finna give you $1.5 million, son. We going over here into this $1.5 million. It's business.
Tell coach, keep my number now. Keep my number. I gotta go grab this real quick. Let me go get them reps. I'm gonna get them reps over here, baby. I give you a discount next year because I done made this bread. And that's how I think somebody should, like, if you're asking me personally, I think he goes out there. If he performs well, I think he's gone. And he gets that bag for that year. He may not even match it. Or it's going to be tough to match because a lot of teams just ain't that as desperate as Auburn is. Auburn got a lot to do right now. They way behind Alabama. They don't have talent. They got a small class. Mm-hmm. He's a third commit. Like, he's going to start. But I think, yeah, if he does well enough, he probably either hold him hostage and make him up the bag even more. Or he might just be like, yeah, but I can't win over here. So this may ultimately stifle my career and take off. So it'd be very interesting to see which guy you are.
No, I was about to say, shoot, man, like Byron Brown had 175 carries last year. and over 1,000 yards. Like, that's not going to change because Golish knows. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Golish knows that. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you how I think it's going to go. I think we'll go there year one. He's probably going to start. That shit, they're going to be garbage. They're not going to, you know what I'm saying? And Missouri going to come calling. He'll go back home and go get some money. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Amal Hardy led the SEC last year in rushing. I think he had like 1,500 rushing yards. He's probably gonna do the same thing again this year. And Johnson Cook gonna see that and be like, I can go home and go do this. And that's probably what's gonna happen. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gonna stick. He'll probably sign with Auburn. He probably will sign with them because I think our staff is like, you know what? It ain't even worth the trouble. Like it is what it is. We gone.
I mean, if you heard any different, we gone, right?
Yeah, because I was skeptical. Yeah,
they gonna still try to recruit them, but they not finna.
They ain't gonna budge on the money.
They ain't budging on that money. That's touching that.
And that's what I need fans to understand. Anybody, you gotta respect that, bro. If y'all think you could do it differently, you will run your own business into the ground. You can't just move off of your budget. This is wrong with Americans in general, and I'm guilty of it too so many times. So I'm not casting judgment. Stick to your budget, man. You cannot just throw the budget out the window, you can't be held hostage.
If you're gonna recruit 25 kids in high school, and I'm just saying 25. If you're gonna overpay for all 25 kids, what type of you're gonna be over your budget?
Yeah, you just not be able to sign the 25 now, right? Because now your class gonna get small as shit because you gave all your money away. And football team sport, right? So you cannot just dump all. It's just like any other. It's like the NFL. You got a cap. Even though there's not a cap in place in every respect of it, you've got a cap of what you can spend because you're being cheap. And this is what I think a lot of fans understand too. It's not about cheap. It's about building a roster. And hitting positions of need. We don't need Mycen Johnson Cook. Would he have been a great luxury to add? Absolutely. I think he's stud. I think he's going to be like that. That's just my personal opinion. I believe he is going to end up being a star running back. Cool. But I don't know that yet. And if I'm in charge of cutting the checks too, again, like Ed said, we keep calling. But I can't budge off that number. We can't go crazy with it. I might move 50,000 for you, but I'm not moving 300,000, 400,000. No, we ain't gonna do it that way. And it's not about being a punk or getting whooped. It's just about sticking to the script of what you're trying to do to manage an entire roster. You can't just pay four players $7 million. I mean, you can, but then they go your whole damn budget. Now, what you gonna do with the rest of the team? And them players gonna take it too. I can tell you that right now. If you told them kids they're going to sell $1 million, they know they're going to be on a garbage team.
You got to think about your recruiting class, your portal class, your roster and retention.
Right.
And then you got the renegotiating for the superstar players. You know, you had the matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just imagine if you got the Baines and just so much. Come on, man. You're not thinking. You're thinking with your emotions. Oh, I want this guy because you don't want to get trolled on social media. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big one.
The trolling.
My team, the people that's going to troll us the most, right? Florida State and Florida. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
at this point. I just don't have time nor energy. What are you talking about screaming over there, man? Nobody listening to you. Just worry about how to get that situation right over there. Oh, y'all whip, yo, okay. We're caught. First, we were overspending, right? We were just overspending. Now, we say, hey, nah, we ain't going to pay that number. Oh, y'all whip. Why are we whip? We said, nah, not that number. He wanted to come here. We just said, that's not a number we can go to. We're not comfortable with that number.
That ain't gonna make y'all beat us.
If the whiff is we won't pay that number, I'm always gonna be comfortable with that because it's always somebody else, right? So speaking of somebody else, And then we'll move on. What it look like? What the running back board look like now?
Ty Keynes is he was running back two. Well, I guess 1B anyway. So you know, we moved forward with that one. It's two other running backs. I'm waiting for them. They're supposed to send me some information today, but that I ain't get it. But it's 200 running backs that they checking out. And then, you know, and I guess they at the point where it's like running back isn't the main focal point of the 27
cycle. Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's not the main focal point, but you do want to get a running back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's not the main focal point. You know, the main focal point is other positions, like you said earlier, building a roster. You know what I'm saying? Because running back, you can get you a running back.
Right. You know, and we haven't suffered at running back. We haven't suffered, at least at the collegiate level now. They may not have, you know, matriculated into the NFL and winning big stars, but we've had good running backs. That hadn't been an issue in, I don't know, I can't think of last, like, I can't think of a time we were just running back poor. We didn't have, like I said, the NFL superstars.
Yeah.
Maybe some collegiate stars, but we had, I mean, if you take like a DJ Dallas, that was a damn good, you know, running back, still in the lead today. Was he a superstar? No. But was he productive? Did he do good things for us? And he ended up being an NFL player. We've at least had that. You know?
I mean, just look at since Dawson's been here, we've had I think we've had almost 1,000-yard rushes since Dawson's been here.
Exactly.
That right there should let you know. And then, you know, the one thing about it, man, is Mario is bringing in offensive lineman that's going to get the job done. So, you know, you should want to be around that, you know what I'm saying? So
it takes
even if it's even if it's money involved, you think like, man, this job gonna make it? If they gonna make my job a lot easier,
right?
Why wouldn't I want to be a part of it?
And will this be my last payday? You see, that's the other thing, and that's why it's important to have the right people in your corner too for these young men. Yeah, that's the nice little bag right now, but $1 million ain't lifetime money. Nah, it's just isn't it? That's just the simple truth of it, especially in the
bingo. Yeah,
You could burn that
in a month.
Yeah, that money can go fast, bro. So you have to look at it from a this is some good, because that's the thing. Miami didn't offer that dude no chunk money, bro. They offer that man $150,000. So come on, like again, when do you draw the line? So the other spot that, you know, this is one that we've been kind of waiting on. And I felt like with the offensive lineman, the longer it goes, it gets a little shakier for me. Mark Matthews, right? So Fong just dropped the Fong bomb for him to go to Texas A&M. Everybody else around, like all the beat guys, are feeling like Texas A&M is gonna be the pick. He said he's got his school in mind. He hasn't told the coaches yet. And I think he's going to expedite his pick soon, or his announcement soon, excuse me. So I think he's trying to, like, set it up maybe with Bleacher Report or whatever to try to do that or whatever. What's your thoughts on if we don't get Mark Matthews, D-Rock?
Hey, so first of all, that's cap, because you tell him, I don't have my school in mind, but people dropping Fong bombs and all that to Texas A&M. So obviously somebody knows something. Like you told somebody something. So I don't believe that for one. Where we go from there if we don't land him? So I don't know if you've been looking, but it's a 5-star offensive tackle out of New Jersey who's rated who's rated higher than he is. The crazy part is he was leaning Texas A&M, but now with Matthews leaning Texas A&M, like that puts us in the driver's seat for him. Like we basically have the same top two. So I think is if you don't get Matthews, more than likely you're probably going to close on this guy. And then guess what? You're probably not going to have to pay what he's getting paid at, you know what I'm saying? Well, he's going to be getting paid at Texas A&M. So you're probably going to catch a little, I'm not saying a big discount, but you're probably going to not spend as much money as he about to get from Texas A&M. So like I said, I'm not worried, man. Like I had a feeling something like this possibly would happen. And, you know, it is what it is, man.
So, X, early, I think you felt Miami when we spoke earlier during the day. But how you feeling?
I still kind of do feel like it's Miami. But the one issue that made me kind of hold off is because You know, I spoke with him. I guess he don't want to play right tackle. He wants to play left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And Miami basically saying, well, hey, we got, you know what I'm saying? We got Cantwell. Cantwell's our left. He's going to be our left tackle for the next 3 years. So
I mean,
you know, if you
go ahead,
get on
keep
the
going.
Field,
this was the point I was making about the new
if
toy.
You want to get on the field, right tackle is the spot. He feels like he's a day one left tackle starter once he gets to college. I mean, and then I was like, hey, man, listen. I mean, even if Texas A&M is guaranteeing you a day one starting spot, it don't mean that you're going to get it. You know what I'm saying? That's because they could have one of the offensive linemen that they got this year start at left tackle. And if he's good, he's going to be the starting left tackle next year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the money factor is, yeah, A&M, they offered a lot. But Miami, you know, Miami was going to match that, whatever they wanted. You know, and it just seemed like Texas A&M still going up with the price. Right. But yeah, that's one thing. He wants to be a good point.
I didn't think about that, but I did think about it in this respect, right? Again, of course you want this kid in your class, right? But you just signed the number one tackle. Then with that class, you signed another guy in Joel Irvin, right? Who you think was humongous steal. He was a three, got bumped to a four. I watched this film and I was like, yeah, I think he looked five-star on film. I don't get it. Moved great for his size, athleticism, right? And then you got Ben Cock.
You got three tackles.
You got
three tackles in the class last year. So it's like,
right.
You got to get in where you fit in.
Exactly. So why on earth is Matthews a must get? I just don't see it that way. I love to get him in the class, of course. And the main reason I really want to get him in the class is because he's local, not because of the position he played. And it's because it's like, well, that's not a position where we're in a desperate spot. But I want to, of course, keep the St. Thomas Aquinas kids, the best of the best from Florida. Yeah, of course. But, you know, that's a good point. If he's looking to come in and start at left, well, y'all was just excited last year to get number one player in the country. You want to kick him out so you can say we got him? It's just you're not really truly evaluating. And the thing is, does he come in, and especially at tackle, and beat out those other two guys I mentioned, Cogden
he definitely
I don't know he beats Cantwell. Yeah, definitely. I'm taking Cantwell out, right?
I don't know if he beats out. I mean, it's because Irvin didn't play.
He's got like a little cleanup, right?
But
love Cogden too.
The Cogden kid, he's shown a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? And that's just this year. Just imagine, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, under his belt.
Whole another offseason.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Because I think like, both of them red shirt, right? So they basically going to be in his class.
I don't know, man. Before they were talking about Irvin probably be, you know, him and Cantwell probably be the starting tackles for us.
Damn it, right. Well, you know remember, you still can play
those guys with that.
You
good.
Can play, what, six games, nine? Or just four?
Yeah. Three?
Did they raise it to six?
Yeah, I think they did raise it to six.
They raised it. So, yeah, either
again,
way, it's
still. I don't know if that's in effect yet. I don't know if the six thing is in effect yet.
Either way, they can play four, right? And,
yeah.
And they probably will get to play four without schedule. I can imagine this schedule set up for our young guys to get some burn this year. So you take them getting some real live burn, learning the system, getting their strength conditioning together and nutrition together. I like the kid. I don't know he just comes and beats these dudes. I just don't. Maybe. I got to think,
man,
Cantwell was built in a lab. Both his parents are Olympians. Like, he was built in a different lab. So,
yeah, that was different. And, okay, so I'm going to give another good example. McCoy comes to Miami as a tackle. He plays guard for two seasons.
Yeah.
Now, his senior season, he gets switched back to tackle.
Right. Exactly.
Like, we trying to give you as much film because even if you are a tackle, look what they talking about with CC now. They saying, CC, well, right. CC might be a guard. He might be a guard in the NFL. But he played top 10 his whole career.
and he went top
like,
10.
What are we talking about? Like, you right. want to play a certain position, and then they just got the number one tackle last year. Who's starting?
Right.
Like, man, I, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, I'm not mad at kids for making the best decisions that they want to make. You know what I'm saying? But at some point, man, you got to really think about the decisions. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. No, but my frustration is never with kids. I'm going to be clear on that. It's with fans. Like, I just don't be like, I'm like, y'all too grown to be this. Like, you're not thinking critical. I'm like, there's no way you got to look at this kid like a musket. You only talk about, like you mentioned, the trolls. Oh, they're going to say we will. Okay. They whiffed every time they lined up on the field. We will
beat us. They can't. The team that's trolling y'all can't beat us. So what are y'all even letting them troll y'all for? Like,
I don't get it. Like, who got time for these guys, man? Like, ha ha ha. We will. What's your class looking like? Who coming in? Who's coming Florida State? Not a lot.
I don't even listen. That program can't even mention a word to me. I'm not even giving you my energy. At least the other team in Gainesville, at least they trying and they recruiting good. But I said they was going to.
They wasted, but yeah.
But they can't beat nobody on the field, so.
Yeah, they're the shiny new toy. They're the shiny new toy. Got a new coach, and people are like, oh man, this is shining bright. But then when them games get played,
right? They paid Billy. Recruited well too. You know,
just had seven players drafted.
Right. Despite that record, they paid Stubbs to go ahead and leave us. We had Drake Stubbs wrapped up. They needed him, so they paid him to come, and then they didn't play him.
Crazy thing, he not even gonna start this year. He probably gonna be on the bench again. Like,
well, God bless him.
I gotta start. Did
okay. I'll take Bryce Fitzgerald. Yeah, I'll take Bryce Fitzgerald.
If Stubbs would have thought about his decision, he it'd be him and Bryce probably starting this year. But he didn't think about his decision. He thought about, well, let me go get this money.
Right.
Florida.
And where will it play? Where will it play long term? So yeah, like you mentioned earlier, D Rob, you got the Olu. I had his name in here. Let's see, Olu Bobola. There it is. I got it. But yeah, you was right. I saw some information on that too. So we just may end up with a flip flop. So if we got to settle again, guys, I hope y'all can handle it. If it goes that way and we have to settle for the number two tackle in the nation, I hope that don't break your hearts too much. Just trust the staff and the guys calling the shots. I think they got it under wraps. And then who was the other guy that's in the hunt? They like Sam Appel, I think is his last name.
The other top tackle that's out of the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
It ain't cold on him, but he is getting a bunch of traction from other schools.
Right.
Georgia being one. But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, man, this O-line is one position I ain't worried about with Mario.
No.
I'm not worried about Miami Mario and recruiting at all. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I look at it as is, you know, I would love to be excited about getting a top class, but the one thing I do love about what Mario has done his 4 years here is he's bought in the players that's buying into what he's selling, what he's creating. You know what I'm saying? And if you get, you know, I don't want to be Texas A&M when they bought in that number one class. You know what I'm saying? Them people ain't buying into what Jimbo was telling them. Some people just was like, hey, boy, they giving out money.
It didn't work.
And the crazy thing is, I was looking at the draft, and then the names I was looking at, I'm like, man, look at all them people who signed with Texas A&M, but then stay with Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
Everything fell apart. But I'm going to talk this real quick before we get out of here, before we wrap. So I looked at those two situations. Like I said, we'll see what happens with Matthews. And then what already happened with the, you know, running back situation. What position this cycle do you think is kind of like a quote unquote must get? Because I ain't really big on the must get, but I would say what position do you think is a, we would try to land a premier premium player at this one position this year?
Man, I'm going to have to go with two positions. It got to be cornerback and linebacker.
Okay.
Those are must gets at both positions. Cornerback being, we probably gonna end up losing three, maybe four. You might lose four, because Damari Brown, you losing him to eligibility.
Okay.
Xavier Lucas, he's probably gonna be one of the best corners in the nation. He's gonna leave. OJ Frederick, another.
Right.
I think O'Connor. I think you lose him to eligibility, if I'm not mistaken.
He got one more year. We got him as a red shirt freshman. So he got one more year after this.
I thought we got Connor as a junior. Okay, well.
No, he was a red shirt.
So you lose three. You know what I'm saying? Although you got others coming back, you still need that depth. So cornerback is definitely going to be a position we need. Linebacker, you losing Chase and you losing Torre. And we still haven't solidified that third linebacker yet or the fourth. So now you're saying you just coming in there with new guys. You're gonna need some top dogs. So those two positions, cornerback and linebacker.
Okay. What you got, D-Rob?
I'm right there with X. I say cornerback and linebacker. One, like I said, I think for sure, I think Damari's gone. Lucas is kind of still up in the air with me as far as I think he needs to have a better year than he had this year. He had a decent year, but he didn't get no interception. Yeah, what, one interception? I think he needs to have a better year. OJ, I think a lot, if he's just showed that he's healthy this year, I think OJ's gone. As long as he's healthy, I think OJ's gone regardless of anything else, because what he did as a freshman, even when he did play, he wasn't bad at all, but I think those guys are definitely gone. I think O'Connor comes back. I think he can come back one more year. And like I said, I'm 50-50 with Xavier Lucas. I think that he comes back. But even with that, then you still have Jabari Antoine, which he had a great spring, and I think they're high on him. But you have to land, you have to get at least two high quality guys that can obviously play right away. Because I think Waters is probably going to come in. I think he's going to get a lot of PT next year. Jaylen Waters,
Portis
at nickel.
A pretty good camp also.
Yeah.
But I see him. I see him more at nickel. I see him more at the nickel. You know what I'm saying? At the nickelback.
Right.
We got going on.
I think now they bringing in interchangeables. You play nickel and corner.
Yeah.
You're just gonna have to because just availability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Once the
corner start going down, you know, you start saying, "Oh boy, we gotta play the true freshman." And just gotta be able to play both. But yeah, go ahead, corners, man.
Go ahead,
D-Rob. And then at linebacker, I think. You have to land Caden Henderson or Noah Glover. No excuses. You have to land one of those guys. You need somebody who's a day one starter that can come in and play right away. And I think those two kids can come in right now and start at the University of Miami. We can't excuse me. Linebacker, I think, is the one position that has kicked our ass the last, I don't know how many years, because when was the last time we got a surefire freshman, like all-star linebacker that came in?
Shaq.
Okay,
right.
How long? No, now. How long ago was Quarterman? How long ago was that?
That was, 2016,
2017? Yeah. It's been a minute. Yeah, no, I agree.
I think that was 10 years ago.
At linebacker. Right. So, yeah, 10, that's too long. I agree. So, it's funny. We all on the same exact page. And that is where you would see me a little more like up in arms about, like, hey, we got to pay this guy. Like, I would be more upset if we let A&M, which is probably our biggest competition for Henderson. I mean, LSU mixed in there too. That would have me a little more upset
in that too.
Who's that?
Notre Dame jumped in that bag too, man.
So now, yes, a lot of this probably just gonna come down to a bidding war. That's one where you're gonna see me a little more like, I don't want to lose a bidding war on this one, because I agree with you, D-Rod. I think we could use an instant impact linebacker there. And so that's one where I'm not upset, but that one would be the one where I would say, yeah, let's not, let's fight tooth and nail when it comes to the dollar amount on this particular kid. But then, if you go to Glover, I'm happy in that situation as well. I agree. Those are kind of my one twos. And it's funny, I didn't even think about corner until y'all said it, but I agree with y'all points as well. So we'll see how all of that stuff ends up shaking out. Maybe when by the time we do this show again, the tide might turn again and they might be thinking Matthews is going to stay home. So we'll find out. But anyways, got to get up out of here. We appreciate y'all pulling up. It's been another episode of 26 Degrees, man. We'll be back with y'all soon. Peace.
Peace, peace, peace.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.